Would you like to be able to start conversations like a pro? Take the Sunday World, your daily dose of what's going on. Do not consume the Sunday World if you're involved in a drug cartel, you're a politician with something to hide, or you've appeared on a reality TV show and care about others' opinions. Consume the Sunday World responsibly. Always read the stories, gossip, and commentary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
We're back on the road this April with our live show, Cocaine Cowboys. If you want to hear the story of Ireland's love affair with Colombian powder and those who made millions in the gold rush, join us in Galway's Town Hall Theatre on Saturday, 6th of April, Killarney's INEC on Saturday, the 13th of April, and in Belfast's Waterfront Studios on Saturday, the 27th of April. Tickets from venues or at mcd.ie.
The wonder of the Anchor Chat hack was that instead of picking up the guys, collecting the drugs, transporting the drugs or storing the drugs, it allowed police to prosecute up another level. They were able to get the guys who were arranging these deals but never were going to put their hands on anyone. Police forces have really relied on catching people red-handed, but the Anchor Chat just took that layer away and they put away all sorts of people.
I'm Nicola Tallant and you're listening to Crime World, a podcast about criminals, drugs and the sins of the underworld in Ireland and across the globe. EncroChat phone hack evidence has been heard for the first time in an Irish court as senior cartel member Padraig Keating fights extradition to the UK on firearms charges. Today, I'm talking with Niall Donald about the messages the Crown say were passed between Keating and criminal kingpin Thomas Bomber Kavanagh, along with cartel lieutenant Liam Byrne, as they plotted a firearms double cross to get the boss a shorter jail term. This is Crime World, a podcast from SundayWorld.com. So we've heard a lot of the names of the EncroChat handles, and some of them are, you know, Big Boy One or...
I don't know, what would you go for yourself?
I don't know, The Boss or something? Would you go...
I definitely go Silver Fox One. That's definitely what I would use. If hopefully it's not already taken, but... Yeah. Whenever I do become involved in international drug trafficking, that is definitely my handle.
Or in your case, you could reject that and you could call me the employee.
The underling.
The underling. Yeah. So anyway, Anthony Keating, to give him his full name, because he's in the High Court fighting an extradition warrant to the UK, where he's wanted on firearms charges, along with Thomas Bomber Kavanagh, Liam Byrne, Jack Kavanagh, the son of Bomber Kavanagh. And it's all centred around this EncroChat hack and messages that the NCA, the National Crime Agency in the UK, gathered and launched an investigation. And it turned out that they were basically trying to give up firearms to make Bomber Kavanagh look good in the run-up to his trial. He actually pleaded guilty in the end, and there wasn't a trial on massive drug importation and money laundering charges. Of course, he's serving 20 odd years in prison for that. But, you know, we have been kind of talking around this story because we didn't know much of the detail of it. But in the courts this week, it turns out, of course, that they're all on EncroChat phones. And Padraig Keating, his username is Short Texture. Now, that sounds really Short Texture.
I don't know.
It's sort of like...
really mild mannered, isn't it? Like, it's not like...
No, it's not like, you know...
Big, mad bastard. Like, it's...
No, it's not. It's not. Short texture is...
Short texture. I wonder, did he just, you know...
But it's a gentlemanly name, isn't it? I don't know if he is tall or
I don't
or
even know what short texture is. Oh, you think that's to do with his height?
No, I don't know.
I would have thought that was a material in a jumper.
Could be. You'll have to write to him in his...
Cashmere one or something.
Yeah. I thought, and of course, he's the court is alleging that he's texting
Liam Byrne,
who's using the name Thai Live. Is it?
Where? Spell it?
T H I L I V E.
I'll have to put my glasses on.
Yeah.
That doesn't even mean anything. That's like as if they reached into. you know, a bag of Scrabble pieces and they came out with those letters and they just sort of put them together.
Yes.
And what's Bomber Kavanagh's handle?
Well, I don't think Bomber Kavanagh is using it. And in fact, what they do say, I think at one point during the proceedings, is there's another individual is texted who's a runner or an associate of Bomber Kavanagh. And that, of course, is what we heard at the time, wasn't it? That he wasn't... He was much more careful, though he was ultimately caught out. So they've identified Liam Byrne, or who they claim is Liam Byrne.
So Liam Byrne is Thai Live. You're right. T H I L I V. I would say that's a typo.
Yeah,
because it means nothing. Jack Kavanagh is Basil Badge.
Basil Badge, which is
as opposed to Basil Brush.
Yeah, who of course is the son of Thomas Bomber Kavanagh. And then they have another EncroChat user who they call Macro Safe, who's described as a messenger for Thomas Bomber Kavanagh. Yeah. So we did also Marco Safe. So we did hear that Bomber Kavanagh, even on the encrypted phones, was more careful.
He was a step away. He was always a step away again. He liked to believe he was. But in actual fact, it was the phones that got him in the end, in the case of the drugs and the money laundering, because, you know, while he was sort of remaining a step away, he was ordering everybody to delete their messages. They were doing what I was doing sometimes as well, you know, when you forget, you know, you have a lot to remember and you should delete, and in actual fact, you take a photograph of it. Yeah. They were all doing that. Yeah. I mean, human beings are human beings and our brains are very full.
They are. And of course, like, it's actually fascinating, the whole case, because they're talking 14 firearms, right? So they describe in the court how UK officials on May 2021 travelled to Newry on the County Down and County Armagh border and discovered these weapons, which include German Heckler and Czech Scorpion submachine guns and various other things. And of course, if you look back on that seizure, you know, which was well reported at the time, because I think it was possibly the biggest firearm seizure in a large number of years in the North. Mm. Obviously, there was huge amounts of seizures over during the Troubles, but this is one of the biggest since, if not the biggest, which I stand to be corrected on. And of course, ultimately, those weapons were discovered to be in the possession of a drugs gang in the North called The Firm.
Yes.
Now, and The Firm are a very interesting organisation.
So do you think that the Kavanagh organization sold them to The Firm and then leaked where they were them seized?
Well, I mean, that is certainly the implication.
Certainly what it looks like for the moment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, so
and it was 11 weapons that were discovered. 14 weapons were under discussion in the EncroChat communications. Keating had sourced them through the Netherlands, and he talks about them being in the flat, and he talks about on the EncroChat communication about Liam Byrne being able to source Glocks for $3,500. And there's a lot of this sort of communication. We're only getting the tip of the iceberg, really. I imagine when the actual case goes ahead, we'll get more of that.
Yeah, I mean, it seems certainly from the implication from what we read here is that the firm became possibly one of the biggest drug dealing organizations in the North over a period of time. They were kind of a next generation crime gang in the North, I suppose, where traditionally there'd always been drug gangs, but they were very much divided between Catholic and Protestant, you know, with Republican tendencies or loyalist tendencies. But The Firm were one of these sort of new wave where they were cross-border. There was people who'd had ties to both sides of the paramilitaries. And you always heard about the Kinahan cartel being involved in sending drugs up the border. And like, this is clearly what had happened. obviously the location of the guns seems to have, the allegation is that that was deliberately leaked to British police, and this was, the guns were seized. Obviously, I don't think there was any arrest, certainly at the time, in connection with that seizure.
No.
So it just shows you the reach of these guys, and, you know.
And look, that was a lot of weapons,
yeah,
right? That obviously the Cabinet Organization managed to source if, yeah, they did sell them to the firm and then later tipped off the police on, yeah, where to find them, or whatever happened. That's all a bit murky, that bit of it. But nonetheless, it was the Cabinet Organization who sourced them. They, 3 years previously, had been hit by the Garda's Drug and Organised Crime Bureau in Dublin,
yeah,
in an industrial estate where their weapons headquarters was discovered, and I think at that point 19 weapons primed and ready,
yeah,
for use were found. Mr. Nobody and AKA Declan Brady and others we've spoken about were caught and later put before the courts and convicted in relation to that. But that is together 20 firearms we know of within that short space of time. And we also know that when Bomber Kavanagh set up his new drug operation, which is what he's doing in jail, because this is the one that was busted, it was actually a piece of paper that was found in Rathcoole in that firearms headquarters that led police to give their British colleagues a tip off about an address that was in the Birmingham area. It was a warehousing that Kavanagh was using for a sort of a carousel of, he had heavy machinery which was being brought in through Belgium, through the Netherlands, across Europe, into the UK, and the machinery was containing, there was drugs contained in the machinery. He would then fill it with the cash and send it back. So it was this kind of carousel situation. Companies, real companies' names were being used, but they had no idea what was happening. But my point is, there was guns coming in that time as well.
Yep.
Kavanagh wasn't charged in relation to it. One of his co-accused took a guilty plea on a gun. A firearm was being delivered that direction as well. So Kavanagh had, and this is just a little dip into what was going on.
It's a dip into it within that. It's effectively a dip into that 3 month period, isn't it?
Literally.
Yeah. I mean, obviously not to get back into all the details of the Anchor chat, but it's really a snapshot over a tree.
Please.
Well, it's a snap.
I have a few comments on this in the Anchor chat, but we'll get back to
it. But it's basically a snapshot of a 3 month period where the authorities hacked into these encrypted phones, recorded all the messages, you know. So what happened in those 3 months has become public record, I suppose, now that it's with the police. But obviously there was years of being up to no good before that. I mean, it also shows you, even at that stage, which was 2020, we're dealing with that, you know, we would think of the Kavanagh organization and the Byrne organization to have been diminished and under extreme pressure at that stage. I mean, it certainly wasn't at its very peak, because a number of people had ended up in prison. There'd been a large number of seizures. Obviously, David Byrne had been killed, and people were in and out of the country. But even at that stage, clearly they were.
Oh, it's business as normal.
It was business.
I mean, it's like a cockroach,
yeah,
isn't it? Because, I mean, in 2016, David Byrne is killed, which obviously isn't going to finish off the operation, but you'd imagine that they would take time to perhaps grieve as, yeah, normal people. Instead, what I saw from the court case that resulted in Kavanagh's jailing was that in the weeks after that murder, as he's standing to mourn his brother-in-law,
yeah,
he is renting, or his people are renting, this new premises to set up this new route of drugs in and cash out, and weapons in and cash out. He gets his first successful shipment through, and by Christmas or after, he's celebrating in New, yep, York, literally months after his brother-in-law has been shot dead. So he's back in business, back in the game, never stops. Obviously, 2017, January, is when his big, huge weapons HQ is busted, and essentially his team here are disseminated,
yeah,
by the Gardaí, or certainly they begin to become under serious scrutiny. There's a number of hit teams close to him that are caught in the process of trying to kill people. A lot of them are jailed, kept in custody. Still, he keeps going.
Yeah.
Still, he keeps going. He himself is facing a huge, big, hefty prison term. Still, the whole operation keeps going.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and what of it now?
Yeah.
Is it still going now? Is he still overseeing the importation of drugs and weapons into the UK and onwards to Ireland?
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible that at that point, certainly they must have been a diminished organisation, but it just shows you the value of these contacts. And you can see that there. I mean, 3,500 for a Glock is what is, you know, Patter Keating, or who the state alleges is Patter Keating on EncroChat, says Liam Byrne can get firearms for. They obviously have these contacts in, they're talking about it in the Netherlands. And, you know, it's the money,
yeah,
and the contacts.
And the transport routes, yeah, is really, and that use of that machinery I'm talking about, I can't remember exactly what piece of machinery it was, but it's a real heavy duty kind of a...
Yeah, it's to stop things being x-rayed. They're sort of hollowed out, basically, aren't they?
It was a piece of machinery that was it was a giant, big kind of tubular thing. Mm. And what they had done was they had used special paint and materials to cover it. So already it was metal. You know, the x-ray, x-ray technology couldn't see into it or whatever.
How does that work? Go on anyway, sorry.
I don't even think it's that technical to say the x-ray technology couldn't see into it.
No.
But anyway... it was kind of like, it was almost like Harry Potter's invisible cloak that they put over the piece of machinery.
There you go. Now that's a scientific explanation that we've been waiting for.
That's more like it. But I can actually see the piece of machinery and the special painted side and everything. And basically they have this transport hollow.
Yeah.
They have companies set up, or they're mirroring companies that would be moving this kind of stuff across Europe. And, you know, when you think of the amount of transportation that goes on every day across Europe, particularly through Belgium, and Brussels is the crossroads of Europe.
Yep.
So you're driving trucks through there, you're, you know, moving on to the UK. It would be the luck of the draw for anyone to stop them, to open it up, to find this piece of machinery and to go, here, has that got Harry Potter's invisible cloak on it? Open it up for me.
And exactly, it isn't really the luck of the draw, is it? When they find those secrets, it's intelligent, so they know something. I mean, I remember actually with the Curtis Warren case, you know, Cocky Warren, the famous British cocaine dealer.
Hoodlin.
Yeah, and they'd actually built this concrete structure, and even though they knew the drugs were there, they couldn't even break into it. So it's an old strategy of, but you obviously have to be a major league criminal that can invest in that technology, that has the money to put in, the expertise, and just the structures. And I suppose what you see with this case is that structure remained in place, or remains in place. Possibly we don't.
Well, people are behind bars.
I mean, it's an interesting case, I think, as well, legally, because for two reasons. Like the EncroChat evidence is being introduced here now. EncroChat is being named in an Irish court.
Yes,
to get back to that in a sec.
Even though it's in extradition proceedings as opposed to looking for a conviction or pacing a case before the courts, but it's still
being used,
yeah.
It's being used in an Irish court. I can't think. I mean, I know it's been mentioned probably, but like this is the evidence presented by the UK officials.
It's the first time.
Yeah.
There are cases that I can identify where EncroChat was used and where EncroChat messages led Gardaí to something, and they have not mentioned that a single time in court.
So this is being said in public in court, and it's also going to test because obviously Patter Keating is resisting extradition. He had a barrister arguing against that extradition, and it's quite complex. We won't probably get too stuck into it, but basically his barrister is saying, you know, you say this is him, but you don't give a location for where he is at the time when this message is alleged to have come from him. So that's a big part of his argument. So basically the barrister is saying, can you prove, even if you prove this is his EncroChat handle, Patter Keating's, can you prove he was in Ireland at the time when he sent this message? Because if he's not in Ireland, he's in another jurisdiction. Therefore, he shouldn't be charged.
And did you read that was the argument, that it was because of where he's physically, or was it because of the different legal systems between the different territories?
There's a couple of bits to it. And he also makes that case that there, his barrister says there's no location in the warrant as to the specific whereabouts of Mr. Keating during the time period in question, which is January 2020 and May 2021. Then he also speaks about the differences between the legal system in Northern Ireland and that operating in England and Wales, who share a single legal system. The North has its own kind of legal jurisdiction, and it meant that Northern Ireland had been treated as a foreign territory by the issuing state in the warrant. So that's another kind of complex issue about where he was, which jurisdiction is relevant, and then also, the different jurisdictions, basically. So it is going to be tested to a degree.
It's all about his residency and that. Are they actually trying to look for the location of the phone? I think they're looking for his location to prove.
Well, they have to prove
in either territory and therefore which law.
Yeah, but what he says was exactly, and he says that intercepted text messages did not prove the location of his client.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you say this is him, it doesn't. You have to say he was in this location. He's arguing he has to say he was in this location when this message was sent.
God,
in
I'm
order
not a
to
judge here on this.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? But I also think that I thought that the barrister, who's only doing his job and is obviously defending his client as best he can, but he does point out that there's an overcrowding in UK prisons and therefore it would be against his human rights to move him to a UK prison.
Yeah, I think
that's slightly grasping,
well,
is it?
Well, I think they always throw that in. I mean, that's, and part of that is, of course, that it becomes, we were, the UK was part of, obviously, the EU. The UK have left the EU now. So those arguments probably apply a bit more where, when we're all parted since Brexit, when we're all part of the EU, those things kind of apply a little less. But I think that was kind of...
I'd like to have attended that, actually. I'm sorry I didn't attend it in total, because I wonder, did part of this extradition, and I think it's continuing as we record this, but you know, is there an argument from Keating that that's not my phone, I have nothing to do with that?
I think it's up to the state to prove that it is him, I suppose, is what they're saying. And his defence is saying also that for during the time period in question when some of these messages are occurring, he's saying that Patrick Keating was in prison, of course. Patrick Keating was, sir, he's been in
serving an 11-year term, I think, for directing a criminal organisation. He, of course, would have been caught up in that plot to kill James Mago Gately by the use of the Estonian hitman Imre Arrakis. And he was basically one of Bomber Cabinet's number one guys here in this country for a long time. I mean, Keating is quite an affable character when you see him, kind of polite. You certainly wouldn't identify him exactly. He doesn't look like a criminal. She says in a ridiculous fashion.
No, and he also has even his EncroChat handle isn't very criminal.
No, it's not criminal. Yeah, exactly. But he was one of these sort of people who was working here constantly for Kavanagh, obviously fiercely loyal. But he's now facing, because he's coming towards the end of his own sentence here in Ireland, and he's now facing life imprisonment in the UK.
Yeah, now that's a maximum sentence. I wouldn't imagine he would get that, but that is the maximum sentence
he's ultimately facing and fighting against. So, you know, they're getting big sentences in the UK, though, on these EncroChat cases. There's
absolutely an
acceptance of the evidence from them. They have been challenged in the courts. The whole EncroChat process has been challenged and has been, proved itself to be upstanding. Which brings us back to the fact that, okay, these are all allegations and we have yet to put these before a UK court to see what the judge or jury has to say. But if we're to believe these allegations in this case so far, that Patrick Keating was operating on an EncroChat phone. He had that EncroChat phone while he was a free man and possibly while he was in prison, depending on the dates and, you know, the timeline of this. But he is a very significant player in the Irish criminal underworld, and he has clearly been using an EncroChat phone, as has Liam Byrne, who, while he hasn't been in this country for a while, is a significant player in Irish organised crime, as is Thomas Bomber Kavanagh, as is his son Jack Kavanagh, and all of them are on EncroChat phones.
All of them are on EncroChat. Simultaneously, a well-known criminal who we cannot name because of a court restriction pled guilty to a series of very serious charges in the north last week. That man is a long-term resident of the Republic of Ireland. That's really, although he has different addresses, he's from the Republic. So these are kind of...
He was on an EncroChat phone?
He was on an EncroChat phone, and that's one of the first big EncroChat convictions in the north. So there's also others in the north facing charges who are really from Dublin criminals, who have also obviously have these ties up the north. So the idea, I suppose, and nobody believes this, but the idea would be that Patrick Keating and Liam Byrne were only using EncroChat to contact their Dutch and UK associates. But when they got up to their criminal activities in Ireland, they went and used a different phone, I suppose, farcical as that may seem.
And the reason you're saying that, of course, is because one of the excuses given by in private briefings from senior members of An Garda Síochána who made management decisions not to act on the EncroChat information in the same way as other jurisdictions did. So the EncroChat phone hack obviously happened from April 2020 for 3 or 4 months until the whole EncroChat phone network realised what was happening and sent out an SOS to all its users. It was one of the biggest communication systems used by organised criminals across Europe, in Belgium, in the Netherlands, in the UK and in Ireland. And Ireland was one of the countries that... after the hack by the French who found the server, brought in the Dutch who were experts in sort of getting in on these phones and these supposedly bulletproof phone systems, when they were up live on the hack, basically listening in to what was going on in the organised crime network across Europe, Ireland got that information in live time. We were the only country who didn't pass that information on down from the Crime and Intelligence Division. It was held within that. And I do know certainly of one occasion, of two occasions, that there was some surveillance work done as a result of live information coming in. That has not been said officially in court, but basically in other countries in the UK, the information came in every day. A central unit disseminated and passed it out to Liverpool, to Birmingham, to Manchester, to Newcastle, to wherever it was relevant. Their, you know, senior detective units looked at it and passed it on further down to the localised areas.
And they acted on as a threat to life. So if they get this intelligence that there was a murder was planned, they'd go in and swoop on this and they'd arrest guys, and then they wouldn't, obviously, if they were charged or whatever, they wouldn't say where they got the intelligence from. It would just be put on intelligence. And they allowed that to go on for 3 months until it all came to light. And
it's
that
extraordinary
ended.
That it went on. They didn't only act on threat to life, though. They did move in on drug shipments that they realised were coming. I mean, we've touched on this when we've been speaking about Morris O'Shea Salazar, the Kerry man who's wanted in Chile, believed to be on the run in Mexico, in relation to the running of drugs from the Sinaloa cartel into Europe. And we've seen the EncroChat files in relation to his network, and we've seen a number of shipments that are understood to have come through Dublin port.
Yeah.
One of them we were able to identify may have been...
Yeah, I mean, look, there were seizures, but without getting into the specifics of it, there were seizures that were in or around that time of major cocaine seizures, for example. So whether, you know, that all adds up to being, I mean, we don't know, because actually in connection with one of those very significant seizures, I don't think anybody was... There was an arrest, but it was really of a truck driver, and I don't think it ever came to court as of this point. So we don't know if that, like, there's a reason to believe that the guards or revenue acted on information given to them through the EncroChat hack, but it hasn't come to court.
No, and in this case, I suppose, from a basic point of view, while the UK state say that Patrick Keating was the one who was organising the logistics and transport of these weapons, which were found in Newry, you don't see the Irish courts taking the case and looking to extradite Bomber Kavanagh and Jack Kavanagh and Liam Byrne. It's the other way around. The UK are taking the case and they're looking to extradite Patrick Keating.
Exactly. And I suppose the real... the wonder of the EncroChat hack was that instead of picking up the guys, collecting the drugs, transporting the drugs or storing the drugs, it allowed police to prosecute up another level. So they were able to get the guys who were arranging these deals, but never were going to put their hands on anything. Mm, mm. So for years, obviously, police forces have really relied on catching people red-handed, and maybe you might turn the odd person or get lucky in some way to bring up to target his boss. But the Anchor Chat just took that layer away, and they put away all sorts of people, including money launderers that never would have really likely to have come before the
And
courts.
You talk about layers. Like, I mean, we would consider the Kavanagh organisation to be a serious organised crime group, but they were considered that in the UK as well. But they're only getting to them now.
It
just shows, you know, what came before them and you know, how they...
Yeah.
moved the stuff through the courts, because there's been thousands of charges brought and cases put before the courts. But we're in 2024 now. Those cases started in the aftermath of the hack in June of 2020. Yeah. So we're 4 years on.
Yeah, I mean, look, and it's interesting to see the word Anchor Chat in an Irish court. So I've been...
I'm going to have an Anchor Chat party.
Well, we're going to see now how the Irish courts interpret that evidence. Obviously, an extradition proceeding is not a criminal conviction. So it's going to be a different standard of proof. They're going to... They probably decide that if somebody has a legitimate case to answer, as opposed to somebody is found guilty or not guilty, they're not found guilty or not guilty in an extradition proceeding. It's obviously that's up to the UK courts for when they're brought in. It's you know, there's different matters there. I'm going to try and explain some of Patrick Keating's defence, right? Because it is complex.
Do you think you need to
explain
it just to me?
Because I don't... I'm just going to explain, and it kind of highlights maybe the complex reality of the Anchor Chat things.
Been in the remedial maths class.
I'm probably going to get this wrong, so
go for it anyway.
So Patrick Keating's barrister says that if it was the case that Keating... So there's a conspiracy, and it's an international conspiracy, right, to buy these guns and move them. So they're bought in the Netherlands, it's arranged in the UK, they're landed in Northern Ireland, and possibly through the Republic of Ireland. So it's an international conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is the business of the Kinahan cartel and this Byrne organised crime group. They're operating across the borders. So, but Patrick Keating's defence is that if it was the case that Keating was in either the Netherlands, Northern Ireland, or the Republic of Ireland during this alleged offence, that then his client should not be surrendered to England, because it's the English officials that are seeking his extradition, and that any agreement into any alleged conspiracy entered into by his client or the discovery of weapons in County Armagh were therefore both outside the jurisdiction of the warrant. So basically they're saying, unless you can show where he was when this happened, and unless that was in England, he was in England for this, then you're operating across these sort of borders, and it's outside the jurisdiction of the warrant. So that's kind of complicated.
It's a really heavy legal argument.
It's a heavy legal argument. And you're going to see that then. This is probably, you know, the Irish officials didn't fancy all these arguments. Maybe the guards, did they? I don't know. We don't know
just know that a decision was made that they were not going to use this Anchor Chat stuff in court because they thought it was going to fail.
Yes, and this is the complex legal arguments.
But there was a decision made by people who saw a problem before they tried to tackle it.
Exactly.
We all work with people like that who see problems that aren't even in the ether before anything is tried.
Yes.
And that was the decision, and that decision was rubber stamped by Drew Harris.
Yes, and of course
he was the Garda Commissioner at the time.
And of course, the other countries in Europe also foresaw these problems. You know, in Holland and in France, there's been significant challenges against the Anchor Chat convictions, and in the UK, they have all gone through the courts, and ultimately, the Anchor Chat hack evidence has stood up legally. Mm-hmm. Now, they went through very elaborate appeals procedures, but, you know, there is a certain leeway, and it looks, as I said, we can't FOI it and see why they decided not to do what they did.
There was a couple of private briefings given, and that was the reasons given that it was all going to fall apart in court. That was some advice given by, you know, a catastrophist, obviously.
Yes.
And the second thing was, no Irish criminals. You were using EncroChat phones anyway.
Yeah, and it's a very Irish thing, isn't it? You always see
story if you want me to.
Which one?
About the phones.
Yeah, but they always see we always hear this about the government saying, well, we got legal advice and we couldn't do it. I mean, that's a very Irish phenomenon, you know?
Mm. Well, look, if we get legal advice, we do what we're told in fairness. So, you know what I mean? You're really out there if you are going up against legal advice and you're operating.
Yeah.
Oh, I won't find this now, but I will find it and read it out to you at some point. You see, Byrne also argued during his extradition from Spain, which he fought, that he was going to have inhumane treatment in the UK jail. What's wrong with the UK jails? They can't be that bad, are they?
Well, I mean, I mean, all jails are bad, I suppose you might say. But I do think that's a part of that is the fact that it's a different regulatory system because of Brexit. So look,
Reuters, Britain to spare minor offenders jail in effort to ease prison overcrowding. Mm-hmm. Overcrowded UK prisons are already failing society. More foreign prisoners to be deported to free up cells and tackle overcrowding. Okay, they have a point.
Yeah.
Britain's brutal and overcrowded prisons pose a risk to us all, said The Guardian last August. Obviously, the conditions are worse there than they are possibly here.
Yeah, I mean, of course, there was an attempt to extradite a guy from South Africa to Ireland, and he was making the same argument about Irish prisons were inhumane and overcrowded and violent. And
3 square meals, so, hot water, and a bed.
And a PS5 or whatever else you can afford.
Exactly.
In your room, so.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to come back to this for sure. This is going to be one of these cases that we're going to follow as it goes through the courts. And, you know, we'll see how Padraig Keating fares out.
Yeah.
Do many people win in their fights against extradition to the UK?
There's a huge tradition of extradition fights between the UK and Ireland, but in recent times, I can't think of many at all.
The only person I can think of that won in regard to extradition to a European country was
Ian Bailey.
Ian Bailey, yeah. Ian Bailey. And that was because the French wanted to do him for murder after the Irish ruled that the DPP ruled there wasn't enough evidence.
No, so. I mean, and our legal system is kind of a very similar basis to the UK as well, so that would make it even harder.
But he's having a go. So, you know, let's see where he goes with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for all that help and explanations about...
Yeah, I enjoyed the clever, Harry Potter reference to the scientific explanation of x-rays, I have to say.
Well, do you know, if you had something that you could have, you know, to have that was outer worldy, what would it be? For me, it would be one of those capes.
Okay. No, it's good.
If you could have some sort of a super-powery, super, hero thing, what would it be? Would you like one of those spider thingies on your hands that you could climb up walls?
Well, look, if that's on offer, I'll go for that, all right. But
surely you'd think about this.
I'd like super speed.
I'd like an invisible cape.
Would you?
Or something that would make me fly from my feet, as in...
No, do you know what I'd really like?
My shoes.
I'd like a Star Trek transporter where you just press the button and go where you have to go.
No, oh, to the
just
present.
Just where you want to go. Even I'm sitting down here, I don't want to walk upstairs.
Yeah.
Press the button, reappear upstairs.
Would you like that? Would you prefer that to an invisible cloak?
Yeah, well, I would, yeah. Why would you want an invisible cloak for? Spy on your enemies.
Spy, of course, and just generally sort of, you know, not be, you know, you could go anywhere. It'd be fantastic. You could just sit down somewhere and have a cup of coffee. Oh, you'd have to have a cup of coffee in under it, but, you know, and nobody would bother you.
Yeah.
It'd be like having a tent.
It would.
And you were a child in the living room. Did you ever have a tent in the living room as a child?
I did too.
I wondered there when I came out with that, when it vocalized from my brain and came out my mouth. Was that weird? I used to
They were simpler times back in the 80s.
I used to have a little sort of Wendy house thing in the sitting room, and I used to, you know, build it or whatever. Build them and they will come. Mm. But I used to put it together and you know, have it and then put a couple of cushions in it.
Yeah.
And then I'd go in and I'd watch the television through the little shitty window in it.
Yeah. What does it all mean?
I don't know.
I'll give the psychological. I will do one of my professor.
Yes, professor.
Psychological
Donald.
Analysis on this.
Dr. Donald, go on. Oh, later. You need
a later point. Yeah, I'd need to research.
Well, I think it's similar to sort of, you know, building dens under hedges and everything. Yeah. You're always trying to create
a sense of security and
a home.
Yeah, a sense of security and yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Get onto that.
Wow.
From Padraig Keating. To Wendy houses. That is actually just sort of, you know, sums up Crime World.
Yes.
Sorry about that, people.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Crime World, a podcast from SundayWorld.com. Produced by Ian Mullaney and edited by me, Nicola Tallant. Research assistant is Chloe Domini. If you like this show and love true crime, leave us a review. Or why not download the free SundayWorld.com app for lots more stories from Ireland and across the globe.
Would you like to be able to start conversations like a pro? Take the Sunday World, your daily dose of what's going on. Do not consume the Sunday World if you're involved in a drug cartel, you're a politician with something to hide, or you've appeared on a reality TV show and care about others' opinions. Consume the Sunday World responsibly. Always read the stories, gossip, and commentary.